Hi, this is Kelly. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all of our daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lg4square.com. That's lg, the number 4square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast at lg4square.com. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Because we always start off with a laughter.
Me too. Yeah.
Welcome everybody to the Welcome everybody to the Barnabas Project. Mm-hmm. I am Sam and I am leading another
random,
good, fun, insightful podcast today.
Right.
I have two juggernauts of women. I'll dress the one in front of me. Who are you?
I'm Erin Watts. What's up? Oh gosh. I don't know if I want to keep that. It's so cheesy.
What's up?
I'd rather do that.
I know. And then to my right.
Standard Candace. Although I feel like I need another name.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I think I want listener. Why don't you email the podcast, podcast at lg4square.com.
Ooh.
Some name ideas.
Like a Candace nickname?
Yeah.
Competition.
Oh, yeah. And the winner gets the honor of choosing Candace's nickname.
Yeah.
And can be on a podcast.
Maybe, yeah, can get a virtual hug.
Yeah. And be on the podcast if you want to.
That's good.
That'd be fun.
I like the sweepstakes that we just made up on the fly.
Sounds good.
Email it in. We want to hear
I hope that actually sounds like fun to someone.
Please, somebody do that.
Someone is going to be like, I've been waiting for this.
They're like, I've had so many names.
Pulls up, you know, Google Doc. Perfect. But speaking of making things up on the spot and pulling up Google Docs, we are going to talk about teachers today.
Yeah.
From educational to mentors to, you know, who, whatever this mold might fit, you know, like today, all of us have a teacher in mind or teachers.
Yes.
We're going to ask some questions about it. Okay. And so first, I want us to go around and just kind of talk about this teacher in your mind. Okay. Like my teacher today is and this is why they're on my mind. A very like open spot, like very much like just an intro. And then I have some questions.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Great.
I have two. So
yeah, I have two also.
I've had a lot of impactful teachers. I've been blessed with that. And, you know, I grew up in public school, so I had a lot of people like, you know, pouring into me as a student. But the one that came to mind, I think that we'll talk about today is Mrs. Stobie, Monica Stobie.
Mm. Monica Stobie.
And she was my junior high art teacher.
Okay. Okay.
That's it.
No, well, I didn't know how much you wanted me to go into.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out because you can say both and I can ask questions for both, but I don't want you to be like ping ponging around two people. Oh,
well, the other one is Mr. Weitenheimer.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he was my third grade math teacher.
Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So both in like your younger years.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what was her name again?
Monica Stobie.
Monica Stobie. You've already said what. So that's where you were at, right? Very bare. But like, where were you? Where was your mindset during that time you were in her class?
Mm-hmm. Junior high kid. Well, typical junior high kid. I was very concerned about how I was shaping up within the social sphere around me.
Right.
Right. I was, you know, as a kid, I was probably, I was classically a people pleaser. I wanted to be an achiever type of personality. Mm-hmm. But in this particular class, I just felt so free to be creative.
Okay.
And really for the first time, because I feel like in other classes, I'll do whatever that teacher's asking me to do.
Right.
And it was, you know, whatever, math, whatever. I was a good student. Mm. But this one felt more like who I was actually.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Got you. What did she look like during this time?
Monica Stobie.
Yeah. I want to picture, like, I want to picture a room. I want to picture, like, being in your class.
So classic, I want big, it's a big classroom.
Okay.
Really tall desks with the tall chairs. Mm. A line of windows on the outside, hallway on the other side, right?
Okay.
And then just art junk everywhere. Like on the wall. Packed all over the place.
Like old student art.
Yeah.
And then like supplies.
All over.
Okay.
Because, you know, they don't have a whole lot of storage, so it's just everywhere.
Yeah.
But it just creates this atmosphere where it's really warm and really inviting. And there's lots of things, lots of visual things to look at.
It sounds like life, like a lot of life and vibrancy.
Yeah, we weren't too concerned about being overly clean or picked up. It was like we could just be. And she was somewhat regimented. I mean, she was a teacher.
Right.
So she's going to teach you through these different things that different projects we were working on. But once you got going, anytime you're working in any sort of creative thing, you're kind of learning what the thing does so that then you can explore it. And she was really good at helping you when you got stuck. She wasn't expecting you to know how to, you know, there was one, I was drawing this goose and I was having a hard time with parts of it. And she just came over and like sketched out. She's like, just like that. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like she wasn't expecting me to be perfect in it,
right?
But she helped me get to that place of where I would be like, oh man, this is what I'm hoping for. Mm. Yeah. And she looked, she had like dark curly hair and she's like super hip at the time. Like you could probably like, she's wearing funky jewelry. That's probably somebody cool made, you know, she was like meeting cool people and living a cool life outside of junior high.
Gotcha. Yes. Mm-hmm. So how does she like, what are her teachings, right? What was this moment that stands out to you that in this podcast, you're like, this is my teacher.
Yeah.
What brought her to that?
Yeah. Place? She went above and beyond on my behalf and a friend of mine as well. She just inspired us to also go above and beyond. And we had, you know, these old schools, they have old gyms with old locker rooms that you no longer use because they built a new gym. So she was like, how about we open up a gallery in the old locker room and all of you guys make stuff and we sell it. And you guys get to learn how to do a gallery.
Oh.
And so she had the newspaper come out and had like, we were in the paper and, you know, we had this like opening event and people where all the teachers were coming, but like the community was coming to support kids in that's art. Good. And all of my art sold, which was like kind of miraculous. And so, and I just like, that's above and beyond her normal, just 9 to 5 as a teacher.
Right.
I put all that together. She made it like it was lovely. Like you walked in and it smelled lovely. It didn't smell like an old bathroom.
No, that's important. Yeah.
And we painted it. It looked lovely. And we hung everything and everything looked lovely. And so it was just like this extra effort to inspire the students that she had.
Yeah.
And then also there was a small group of us and she's like, I know of this art camp and I want to sponsor you and send you to this art camp.
Wow.
And so it was just above and beyond. So I went to, the art camp was at Wallawa Lake.
Okay.
We stayed at the Methodist camp there. And they had brought in Eastern professors and we did things like, you know, we were sketching and drawing and we were doing silk screen t-shirts and we were doing some sculpture stuff. Somebody had bought or brought up a potter wheel and a kiln. Dang. And we were like,
what?
And then in the, you know, the main park right there at Wallawa Lake, they set up another art gallery for us
and
to show up in Wallawa at the lake.
Yeah, we'll go.
You know, so she just kind of like, I didn't know this life. I wasn't around this lifestyle. She would take me into Walla Walla. I was living in Mountain Free Water and she would take me into Walla Walla, which was like the hipper, you know, things were happening in Walla Walla. And we got to go to some gallery openings there and like, you know, she's just trying to expose us to places to get us to dream about where we could go.
Gotcha.
And I think something I hear in that retelling is like, she believed that you all had something to offer. It wasn't just that she like made you think that, like she literally thought that too, because she's investing her own like time and energy. And we all know teachers are doing that. Like anyways, like they're investing their own personal finances into their students all the time. And then to know of like how impactful art is mm-hmm. in your life and in other people's life, it's mm-hmm. like she did invest into mm-hmm. that and look what it did.
I know
and
she's the root of
that's
it.
So I love that. That's amazing. Right.
When I started out as a painter about 10 years ago, I reached out to her. I found an email and reached out to her and showed her some of the things I was doing. And it was just a lovely moment to be able to look back and go, you are directly responsible for this business.
And that must have been so special for her.
And that was my next question is, mm-hmm. what were the things that she gave you mm-hmm. that you now give to others? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I definitely have a passion for gathering people who might feel like they have a heart of creativity and like, you know, showcasing your stuff. In fact, this Easter, we're hoping to do a little just... Mm-hmm. curate a little moment underneath the underhang with people's art. And, you know, we've got some things coming from local artists to go to our church and that speak to the resurrected Christ. And yeah, it's definitely you can see that linear line from Monica Stobie.
I love that.
Gotcha. Aaron, do you mind going next?
Yeah, I'll go. I don't mind. Oh. I do mind. I don't know. I will go.
You mind?
I yes. mind because I care. So... I didn't have a pretty traditional schooling life. I was homeschooled. I guess you didn't either, Sam. Yours was different too, but we'll get to that. We'll get there. Yeah, I was homeschooled. So a lot of my earlier, especially like schooling years was things at home. And I was a pretty independent kid from the get-go. So my mom helped me with stuff for sure, but I don't have a lot of memories of that, but of having impact from other people outside was probably more in my high school years, which is interesting. It's just interesting that yours were like in your more young years and mine were mm-hmm. older, the two that came to my mind. But I went basically to this like university model school is what they call it. And you're like part-time homeschool, mm-hmm. part-time in school, in like a small private school setting. So I would say probably all of the teachers there were like parents of students that attended this program. Gotcha. And it was really small. Like that's, it sounds fancy, but it was like at a church, you know, it was like simple. And so one teacher that came to mind, well, I had two that came to mind. One was, her name was Mrs. Muirhead, Kathy Muirhead. And she just saw me like, that's really what it was. Like, she didn't try to make me fit a certain mold. Mm. And something that made her pop up in my mind was like, I remember sitting in her class and it was one of those like, okay, we're reading through this text. It was like a history class and it's like, read along with it. And then when it's your paragraph, you read. And she was like, you keep drawing because you listen better when you draw. And I just remember like laughing, but I was also like, thank you for not forcing me to fit some mold, yeah. but recognizing that I listen better this way. Therefore, I'm going to learn better. And like, it's going to be an enjoyable process because there was like always something in me that's like, I hate doing something just because it's like, that's what you're supposed to do. Like mm-hmm. everybody's doing it. You have to do it. I'm like, no, like automatically. And instead of her being like, fit in, Aaron, she didn't. And that, like, I remember she earned so much respect for me from just a small moment of like, keep doodling in your notebook. That's you do you. Like, you're good mm-hmm. as is. You don't need to be anything more mm-hmm. to right. learn and be qualified in this class.
Right.
So that's like, that small moment has stuck with me mm-hmm. for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
So, how's that moment translated to how now you interact with kids and teenagers and stuff like that?
It interacts huge because I love nothing more than for kids, especially teenagers, to be seen and affirmed for who they are as they are and not go like, you need to be here and this level to qualify. Cause there are so many things
right.
telling us that that's how we have value and whatever. And that's like mm-hmm. looks, quality of life, whatever, all these different things, like those affect you. And so to be known and go, hey, like, I see you for who you are and like, you're good at this. And here's how you learn. Like, that's good. And not being like, oh, that's not, you know, you're not like everyone else. Therefore you don't qualify in this group. Therefore you're never going to be as good as everyone else. Mm-hmm. I love that with kids. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny because if you know, like the group of kids that I've interacted with over the years,
yeah,
a lot of them are in those categories where mm-hmm. they're not necessarily like mainstream. There's something different
right.
that I connect with them that, and they feel seen by me. So I've definitely like subconsciously done that for years and become more aware of it. And like these kind of conversations remind me like, yes, you want to make those people that maybe feel out in different ways. Even though I didn't always feel like that, like every teenager does feel like that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Even if they don't say they do.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was one of those kids. Because I remember I would draw, and I have a memory of a teacher telling me to stop drawing.
Oh.
Like, focus. And I was like, I am trying to focus, you know? So it's beautiful that you, it's beautiful you got that moment.
Yeah.
With your teacher. What was her name again?
Kathy Muirhead.
Kathy
shout Muirhead. Out. Yeah, shout out. Shout out.
That's shout sweet. Out.
I liked her.
What about you, Sam?
For me, I have a ton that pop in my head. I think of like the classic ones, but I was like trying to think about ones that like kind of like I don't really recognize that I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Aaron said, my schooling, right? I went to public school to like eighth grade, right? And I got kicked out of middle school halfway through. And then my family moved to Thailand and I went back into school, right? I was in a whole different ball game from going from a public educational system to a private American system in a foreign country with Asian expectations. And so I definitely was behind and teachers really helped me get to a place where I was keeping up with people. And that's like the ones that come to mind really, really quickly. And I was like, okay, what are ones that like were also in that season? You know, because back in the public school, I had, and I was going to say this toward the end, but I think it's a good segue now. We can also all think of bad teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Teachers, I have a teacher and I still remember her name. Her name is Miss Armijo and she did not like me.
Mm-hmm.
And we always butted heads and she would call me stupid. She would just name call me. She would all these things in a public school system. Wow. And I mean, I was a turd. Let's be very clear too. It wasn't like I was like being really nice either.
How old were you at this?
This is part of the reason why I got kicked out of middle school.
There is something interesting though about like a teacher calling you something enough that you're like, okay, you think that? I'm going to be that even
100%, more. 100%. Yeah. And I was already in the midst of like giving up on myself because having a learning disability, all these things, being lost in a public school system and then just kind of being like, finding worth where there was worthlessness. You know, it was just like a black hole for me in that moment. Then I'm flung out of that and I find myself in a place where teachers like, how are you feeling, Sam? And so I wanted to think about like, one of those other teachers. And one that comes to mind was my principal.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Mr. Rebel.
Love it.
And he was a Southern man. He was also from Texas. And
think about that.
Seems right.
Yeah.
And we were talking about nicknames the other day, and this is the last time I spoke about them, but my family in Texas, because I'm from Texas, listener, calls me Sambo. I'm like, hey, Sambo, how you doing? Right. You know? And I'm like, I'm doing great. Thank you very much. How you doing? And that was my name forever. And so now I'm across the world in Bangkok, Thailand, and I'm sitting talking to the principal of the middle school.
Right.
And he goes, he's like, thanks for coming, Sam. And all of a sudden he's like, cause we're also having conversations of how can this place help me not fall behind?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I will personally see through it. That Sam is like sought after. We help him. Sorry. It's hard not to get out of the accent once I do it.
Yeah, I know.
Stay in it. I love it.
Stay in it.
I'm in the moment.
But Mr. Rebel constantly came after me.
Mm.
And one day he was like, you have a good one, Sambo. And I was just like, what? And it like totally was like, caught me off guard because like that's what my family calls me.
Mm.
And this guy here, I mean, Mr. Rebel, even throughout my high school, was one of my advocates for when I did get in trouble. But he just like always saw me as a, like he just invested in me in small ways, always.
Right.
He just saw me and I just like still remember those times where I'd be talk to another principal and then he would show up, be like, don't worry, Sam, I'll talk to him too. And, you know, and then he would be like, Sam, that was kind of not the most smartest decision you made. And I go, I know. But like that, it was never a compromise to him because after he would say that, it was encouragement afterwards.
Yeah. Right.
And even in that moment, right, the thing I kind of take from him and from another teacher, one time I was senior year and there was a crazy situation going on. And I was trying to hide in school, not because of like anything scary or anything like that, but I just needed a place to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And during senior year, I got my most favorite job. Mm-hmm. Literally the best thing when I look back at my educational career, I go, this was my favorite moment I ever got to do. I was an assistant teacher. It was like a class.
Oh.
For the library, for the kids'
library. Oh my gosh, I love that. That
sounds fun.
And it was this beautiful room where there's all these windows and all these, like, there's like a tree. It was this incredible place. And it was a safe place for me. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, in the librarian there, I can't remember her name right now. And it's bothering me. But she was always like, this is your home.
Aww.
And she got me gifts for like, it's Easter. Aww. And she'd get me something. And she'd be like, oh, it's every holiday she had a gift for me.
It's National Puppy Day.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I can keep that dog.
I got an email.
Really?
I think so.
But like, she was a safe place for me. That's things so were, awesome. I needed a place to be. And I walked in and she knew instantly, like, you stay here as long as you need to. Yeah. And there wasn't like a hesitancy or like a rule, like, Sam, you know, you need to be in class right now.
Right.
She knew that she was a safe place for me to the point where my parents knew that they need to go. Cause that's where they found me during that whole situation. And I just think about how those two were safe places for me. Mm-hmm. Even when I was making bad calls, even when I didn't need someone to tell me how it was because I already knew what it was.
Right.
What I needed was someone to sit, to just be with me, to walk with me. Yeah. Me and Aaron were talking about this earlier about how can we engage with young people when there's something going on. I just needed someone to sit, just walk with me and, you know, just be with me.
That's good.
And I just really, that's something I took from that. And now that's how, as a person, I now go, how can I best serve this person where they're at?
Yeah.
Not try to fit them somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So shout out to those two.
That's good.
I love, I'm hearing like we, you know, people that showed us that we had something to offer as we were, and we didn't have to be any other way. And like those things were safe.
Yeah.
And made such a huge impact in development.
Right. Like,
that's huge.
Yeah. I think my next teacher, Mr. Weitenheimer.
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 Kind of, I'm in third grade. So picture a third grade classroom. And Mr. Weitenheimer is, let's see, third grade. This is like mid 80s-ish, that era. Maybe even like 83, 84, somewhere in there. So he looks like he's straight out of the 70s.
Right.
Okay. Yes. And he's like kind of shorter, dark hair, and he's tender and sweet and kind and empathetic.
Right. And doesn't sound like his last name.
Not at all.
He sounds like a villain.
But he's going to be a bad guy.
Your guy's not a bad guy.
So I moved around a lot as a kid when I was a little kid. Okay. And I had moved from the Portland School District area to a very small town, to Milton Freewater.
Wow.
And in the third grade, it was a big difference. And so we sat down and we were having, like, he put this paper in front of me and it was like the timed math test that was the multiplication test.
And you had already.
Yes. And you had to get like, there's 100 questions and you had X amount of time to get all of them done.
Right.
I am my little, you know, I'm still this, I'm like this little human that's like, feels like she has to live up and, and do what is asked of her. So I had never seen multiplication before.
What is this foreign language?
And I am crying. Aww. I'm just like, yes, my little chin's quivering. I'm puckering my little, and I'm just like, I am crying. And like Candace. This little soft little back of the classroom moment for me at this desk going, I am in a new environment. I know no one in this room and I don't know what I'm looking at and I don't know how to like survive it.
Right.
So here comes gentle Mr. Weitenheimer and he gets down on my level and he's like, honey, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know what this is. I don't know this. I don't know what this is. And he's like, you know what? We're just going to work on it together. So that's okay. I'll just take this. And then now we know where you need to start. And it was just like,
that's
okay. You know, that and just it was so tender.
Warms
and,
my heart.
And then in that environment, of course, my little self is going to pick up multiplication because I don't have to live up to this weird expectation, right?
Yeah.
That his empathy birthed learning. Come on.
That was...
Man.
It's empathy birthed out learning.
Yeah.
Empathy birthed out
learning. I got no questions because you answered all of them.
Wow. That story blessed me. Like, I want him to be my teacher and like any future children of anybody else's teacher.
Yeah. I know.
That is, oh my gosh, how beautiful.
Yeah. I think we can both, me and you, Aaron, can say that you also do the same for us. Out of your empathy, we learn and we hear.
I think for me, that place of being empathetic to someone is just like such a holy moment. And so to be in that place is definitely something I find it honor to be in that place with people.
Right.
Right. And I, you know, Mr. Weidenheimer, like just to have, and especially to have a male teacher at third grade, that's a really big deal. And so to have him being that way as a male
in the 70s,
in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And a good, just a good example of like, this is how I should expect for men to treat me, like good men. Like, what a great,
huge
impact. My second teacher is also from high school at the same place, same age group. And she was my, let's see, well, it might've been like a year, then like my senior year or something. It was my English literature teacher. Mm-hmm. And her name was slipping my mind right now. I can't remember her name. That's weird. It's like in my head, I just can't remember. But she was an actual teacher, like accredited teacher, had a degree, like not just, and that's, I'm not trying to degrade the other people, but this woman was a real educator.
Right.
And she was good at it. And so she got me excited about something that I was like, I literally don't care. Like I liked creative writing in high school, but English literature was like, we're going to read these books. We're going to write about it, like whatever. And I was just like, just do the work. And I, in writing classes, did not have to put out a lot of energy to get like good grades. Mm. So I could have easily just like skirted by. And I had in other literature classes in the past, but she like was so passionate and like got me excited that I like learned so much in that class that I feel like I still remember things. And she would do just exciting things that were different. And I remember being like, she makes me care about this class and want to do good in it just because she cares about it so much. And so even things like we read Beowulf, like that was one of the books, you know, which is a great story. And I, you know, probably half the reason why I liked it is because she made me like it. And maybe English Lit is like a more fun, creative class. Like now when I think about it, I'd probably like it still. But she was like, okay, we're going to do like a boast. Like, and it's really, we're not learning anything except like, hey, like in this time, like when people go to battle, they would do these like, this is so-and-so hailing from this place, defeating these people. And I claim I can do this, whatever thing. And they showed this clip from A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
When the guy's like cheering him on, like his buddy before he goes jousting or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, she would play a clip of that, like in class, like she would really put a lot of stuff into it. And then it was like, okay, you are going to do that. And that was like one of our projects, which was like
right up your alley.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Like, and I'm like this, it just spoke to me. And maybe for a kid that's like not an extrovert, that would have been like the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she was someone who recognized that and isn't going to be like, you have to be like Aaron and do this. Like you can do this in your own way.
Right.
So she was like, just something that you're good at or that you like doing, like you're going to boast it, or you can challenge someone else. So me and my best friend, Hannah, shout out to Hannah Stafford. Oh, Hannah Anderson. Now we were like, okay, we're going to like battle each other. Like that's going to be, cause we loved making videos together and stuff. So we're like, we're going to just say that we can make cookies. Cause we're like, do you have any talents? Like, no, like acting, like this is our talent, like doing this. So we just baked I baked Toll House cookies. Like, it's like, yep.
Wow.
Popped them in the oven and we got like aprons. And so we like, she started and she's like in the room, like I'm Hannah Stafford hailing from Pimlico Place, like her street name and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I like kick the door open and I'm like, and I'm Aaron Manriquez, like from whatever, or you're Belinda, the land of gracious living. Like, and that's actually the, like the tagline of you're Belinda.
Land of gracious living.
Yes, it's gracious. And so I was like, I challenge you. And we had like the Eye of the Tiger play. Yeah. And we like, you know, dun, 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 with the aprons and then like handed out cookies and like that. And then we were like, we're done, the end. And
it was just like, that was the, like, it was so easy. But, yeah. You know, one person's like, I can speak the best French. And they said like one sentence in French and everyone's like, woo. And it's like, no matter what someone did, we all like cheered each other on. And yeah. I just feel like that built so much community in that class.
Yeah.
Because that kind of was like one of the first things we did that year. And I feel like it really set off the rest of the year and like set the tone. And so I guess, yeah, the reason she stands out to me is just because she made me passionate and she was passionate. And like, I respond to passion, even if it's something I don't care about.
Right.
So that's awesome. I don't know. Any questions?
No, I think you answered it. I think you absolutely answered it. I see your passion.
Yes, absolutely.
I was going back and forth about who should my last teacher be. And I was like, I had maybe like five people in front of me. I think I'm going to go a little bit of a different direction.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about a teacher I've had my entire life since being born.
Oh, come on.
It's my grandpa.
Okay. Oh.
His name is Gramps.
Gramps.
Gramps. Good old Gramps from Texas. He also has a southern accent. And I mean, I get my humor from him. We look alike a lot. And this guy is humor, but also I've seen him empathetic in moments. And like, there is empathetic in moments where I really messed up when I was a teenager, but he also met me with honesty and it, like with that honesty where there was that empathy with it.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh man, like I don't want to make my grandpa sad or my grandmother sad. Grammy Ace, shout out to Grammy Ace. But a moment that stands out to me about his life teachings, he also would say really silly things like an old Southern man would. Yeah. He'd tell me how to pick up women and it would be an analogy at a fruit market.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So this is who this guy was. One time it was like elementary. It was me and my brother and it was Easter. And we were so stoked to be there because we were going to be, there's this huge gathering for Easter and Grammy Ace is going to take us there. We're like, oh man, we're going to get all the eggs. I'm going to get everything.
It's going to be so great.
It's going to be so good. It's at this huge park. You know, a park when you feel it, when you're younger, felt like a kingdom.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge.
You could run for days.
Wilderness.
And then it's like, this is like a little spot.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Patch of grass.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 1 acre.
And so we get all ready. We're super psyched. Me, my brother Grant. We get all loaded up in the car and we get to the place and we realize that we're an hour late.
Oh, no.
And when it's an Easter egg hunt.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like there was nothing. Most of everybody was gone. And I remember it so clearly walking around, like picking up a trash of candy. Tossing it aside, seeing my brother picking up a side of an egg and being like, there's nothing in here. You know, it was such a moment of defeat. And like, I remember walking over to Grammy and she's like, I'm so sorry, sweethearts. Like I apologize for getting the time wrong. And just like, maybe we can figure out a way to, you know, and just was talking and we're like, man, this stinks.
This is the worst thing that could ever happen.
Yeah. Like literally.
Totally.
And so we like go back to their house and we find this trail of candy.
Okay.
Going inside. We're like, what is this? And me and my brother like rush after it. We go into their kitchen and there's like a plethora. Just this abnormal amount of candy in Easter baskets.
Wow.
And I remember just looking at this and my grandpa comes around the corner, not even there. He's like, you wouldn't guess what happened. He's like, you know, the Easter bunny. We're like, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
heard
like,
of him.
Well, he felt bad that all that stuff happened. So he called in his friend. We're like, who's his friend? Well, his name's the Easter tortoise.
Nuh-uh.
And he stopped by, he took his time, you know, he's a tortoise, but he came through. And I just remember the victory in that moment.
Oh, my gosh.
And looking back at it, I go, he was teaching me creativity. He's teaching me how to meet people in the moment with creativity and just, like, fun.
Joy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, like, still picture in my brain.
Yeah.
You know? And this is a guy who, like, at the bowling alley, he'd be like, Sam has another funny joke and would put me on the thing. And I'd be like, here's my funny joke. Why did the chicken cross the road? But like, he is someone who like I have found my humor from, but also my creativity from, and also my grandmother and my great grandmother. We're this creative family, But like he showed me how to do that in situations.
Yeah.
And like how to love people in the creativity. Oh, like you're like he was loving you guys by doing that. That's so sweet.
And just one more point to my grandpa. He knew that me and my brother loved playing video games.
Yeah.
And this is him meeting us where we're at through creativity.
Oh. Yeah.
And he was an appliance man. Mm-hmm. And so his hands, like over time, it was hard to like really like do things. I mean, like he had to get screws because one time something fell in it. And so like he moves these fingers and they move together and stuff. But me and my brother really got into a rock band, Guitar Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He taught himself how to play Guitar Hero to play with us.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
And so we would play together and it was so much fun. And like looking back on it now, I go, he was meeting me where I was at.
Yeah.
He said, he loved us that much that he would like physical therapy, learn how to hold the guitar and be like, and play with us while me and my brother are like, just like on medium. And we're just having a great time.
On top of like tech generation, and then all physical, of that, to know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of physical.
Hard to play for me. Well, I probably was better at it when it was popular, but I recently tried to play it with my brother when I saw him for Christmas. And I was like, I'll go on medium. I'm like, I should be able to do it.
No.
I had to go to easy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had to do it easy.
But like, that's one of my teachers of my life is just like using creativity and empathy and honesty and meeting someone where they're at.
That's good.
That's beautiful.
And now I do that to others.
I love it.
Yeah.
So good.
Listener, please send us who were teachers that impacted you.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear about it. Also, please enter into the Candace new nickname contest.
Exactly. That sounds fun. Also, I just, you know, if you have an opportunity to connect with people who've impacted you, teachers or people in your family.
Absolutely.
Don't hesitate. Like, do it.
Yeah.
It's just, you just usher in something of God's goodness in that moment and you know, to honor someone who's poured into you is just a really great experience. So, and
piggyback on your piggyback. Mm-hmm. Know, listener, that you can be that person, that you are that person.
That's good.
And even if it's a small affirmation of like, hey, I see you as you are, and that matters. Like, wow, what a difference. Like, these small stories have impacted our lives.
Yeah. So, and I just think about this last year with students and children and the difficulty of this last year. And if, you know, you're listening out there, God is the God of creativity and he's got some great ways for you to engage with the kids that are around you and how you can be a blessing. So
absolutely. Listener, thank you again for listening to us and hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to follow and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com. That's LG, the number 4square.com. And you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening and God bless.